Well, welcome to week two of Lent. And today our sermon series continues our night in the garden. If you remember from last week, the disciples gathered for the Passover meal, and a lot of things happened that night. And there were many things that we didn't even talk about that happened that night, but just kind of as a review, what happened on Holy Thursday or Maundy Thursday, when they gathered for the Passover feast, Jesus washed their feet. Jesus predicted the betrayal of Judas. And during that meal, the disciples argued about who would be the greatest. And the scriptures tell us that during that time, Jesus prayed for them, and he also prayed for us. He went on to tell them that his Father's house had many rooms. He promised that the Holy Spirit would come, that their grief would turn to joy. And then he executed what we call Holy Communion, or the Last Supper, where he broke the bread and he lifted the cup. And as they left the place of the meal, they left singing a hymn of victory. And on the way to the garden, Jesus predicted that all the disciples would fall away. And he even predicted that his closest, Peter, would deny him three times. And then the scriptures tell us they went to the garden so Jesus could pray. This is where we really see the humanity of Jesus. From Matthew 26, 36. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. His human nature. But it goes on to say that he was more than sorrowful and troubled. Verse 38, and he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. I believe there are some of you in this very room that know this sentiment. There are some of you that have lost someone very close to you. Some of you have reached the breaking point because life completely unraveled. There are some of you that have seen the dark side of depression. And many of you know exactly what it means to be overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. It can be hard to think that the Savior of the world, the Son of God, was overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. But here is the beauty of who Jesus was. Jesus was both fully human and fully divine. So here's your $80,000 college word. I know, because I've spent that much money. The hypostatic union. The hypostatic union is essentially a divine mystery. I paid a lot of money to learn that it's a mystery. Of how Jesus was both fully human and he was still the Son of God. He was part of the Holy Trinity that is God. He was born in a manger, right? He grew, he learned, he ate, and he even died. Yet he had divine wisdom, divine power. He walked on water and he healed people. He was fully human, yet fully God at the same time. He had a human nature and a divine nature. From John 1, some very familiar words. In the beginning was the Word, which was Christ, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And as God, Jesus did many amazing things. We go back to Mark 4. It says, he got up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet and be still. Because remember, they were out on the boat and they thought they were going to die because the waves were about ready to capsize the boat. And Jesus gets up and he says, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? And it says they were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. See, his divine nature, his power of God to calm the wind and the waves. He healed the lame, he gave sight to the blind, and he was the one who raised Lazarus from the dead. And there are many more examples of the divine nature of Jesus. But there are also many examples of the humanity of Jesus. The passage right before he raised Lazarus in John 14 says, when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. And then the Jews said, see how he loved him. Jesus loved. Jesus cried. He felt tired. He hungered. He was even tempted. In every way, he was like us, except he was without sin. Hebrews 2 says this about him. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity. Meaning Jesus knew what it was like to be us. He knew what we felt. He knew our pain. Hebrews 5 says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, God's son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. We must believe, and this is something we'll learn in confirmation, that he was fully human and fully divine. We have to believe both, because if he wasn't both, he could not be our Savior. It's very important for us to understand this. This is crucial to our understanding of Jesus Christ and our salvation. If he did not become flesh, if he did not live as one of us, but was also not God at the same time, he would have not had the power to overcome death. He would have not have had the power to forgive our sins. And while the hypostatic union is really a mystery, what Jesus shows us through his life, that even in this broken world, we are not alone. We were designed to be in full union with God. That's how he created us, in His image, to be in union with Him, to have a direct one-on-one relationship. And earlier that night when they were having the supper, Jesus prayed not just for the disciples, He prayed for you and me. This was His prayer in John 17. I have given them the glory that you gave me. Now He's talking about all of us, the future believers, not just the apostles. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. We are designed to be in unity with God and unity with each other. And it is in this unity that we see what Jesus does when His soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Back to Matthew 26, when His soul was overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, verse 39 says, going a little farther, He fell with His face to the ground and prayed. He fell to the ground and prayed. You see, through our faith, we are supposed to have a special connection with God. And one of the best ways to foster that union, the first place to turn when we are overwhelmed, is to turn to God in prayer. We heard this earlier in Psalm 46. He says, be still and know that I am God. People, that's powerful. I know your life is a wreck. I know it seems like everything's going wrong and you're overwhelmed to the point of death, but be still and know that I am God. Right? And we learned last week, He gave us a lot of great promises, hasn't He? Promised us the Holy Spirit, promised us eternal life, promised us that His Father's house has many rooms. And when things seem overwhelming, we need to be still and know that He is God. When we are overwhelmed, it may be hard to see that victory. When we are full of despair, full of pain, full of worry, and full of doubt, there is only one thing to do. That is to be still and know that He is God. This is exactly what Jesus did. He was soon to be betrayed by Judas. He was soon to be abandoned by all of His disciples. Soon He would hear Peter deny Him three times. And the next day, He was going to be crucified. He was literally going to lose His life in a horribly grotesque manner. Last week we learned that they sang a hymn of praise before He went to go pray. But He made it a point to go to the garden where He fell with His face to the ground and prayed. of all that Jesus ever did, of all his miracles. One of the most powerful actions he did regularly was to pray. This is one of the most powerful actions that you can take. Because we read time and time again, Jesus went off to pray. Jesus went off to pray. He went off to be alone. He went off to pray. We see that his heart was moved. He was filled with compassion, or filled with sorrow, and things overwhelmed him. And what did he do? He went off and prayed with God. Now, Jesus prayed publicly, but more importantly, he had a devoted and personal prayer life. Through prayer, Jesus was one with God. Prayer was the connection, part of that holy mystery that made him one with God. We need to be one with God. And right here in the garden, he knew victory was coming. He knew God's plan was for salvation for all people by the power of his resurrection. He knew victory was coming, but his human nature was overwhelmed. So he turned to God in this moment. And I think sometimes we forget that we need to ask God to take our hands and lead us on. And if you've never fallen on your face to pray to God, then I think you need to question your relationship with God. Hebrews said it was a sign of submission to lay face down. That's why we bow our heads. It's a symbol of submission. Now, it's okay to pray with your hands lifted up. It's okay to look to the Lord. It's however you want to do it. But you need to be submissive in your hearts. You need to be still. You need to give it to God. And you need to know that he is God. And that he is the one that will carry you and give you the strength to do what is upon you. I can tell you from personal experience, being on the dark side, it's hard. There's times that you feel alone, abandoned, and full of hurt. But you know what it is? It's always pulled me through. My God. My faith. And sometimes we need to be still and know that he is God. And if you know somebody who is in a place of darkness, sometimes you need to just go be still with them and know that he is God. Because sometimes our words can be hurtful and we don't even mean it. Because we all love the Bible verses. All things happen for Christ, for glory of all. You know, we can quote 1,000 verses and try to remind people that all good things happen for them. Is that what they want to hear in that moment? No, because I can tell you, when you're on the dark side of things, you just want to say, shut up and go away. But you know what you can do with somebody? And Job, when Job was at his lowest, you know what his friends, the one thing they did right? They came and they sat with him. And the tradition was, you didn't speak until the person who was in sorrow spoke. So if you know somebody that's in darkness, just go be with them. Be still and know that he is God. And pray. And pray. And next week we'll continue the story and we'll see how hard this prayer was for him,
how hard this moment was for him. And I hope that it gives you an appreciation, a greater appreciation for what happens at Easter. But for now, wherever you are in your life, be still and pray and know that he is God. Let us leave here with full assurance that we serve a great and loving God, who has promised to never abandon us, who has given us his Holy Spirit to be present with us, and that we can call out and cry to him and know that we will be loved. Go now in his love, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.